Well, I didn't scare all of you away from last week. Just continue to pray for Jimmy and Carla as they, I think they're going to be, they should be back in Indiana on Friday or maybe even Thursday. So hopefully that was a good experience for them. Hopefully they made some connections for fundraising for the ministries and maybe even some mission teams for us. Many of you probably see behind me things may look a little different. If you don't like it, you can blame Chris Covey. I told him that I was going to say if anyone doesn't like it, that is his fault because he helped me install them. If you don't like it, just bear with me, and I promise you, you'll get used to it. So this big screen, it will go away. This week, it doesn't do a good job. We can't ever show any videos. It's a horrible screen. It's just old. It's dirty. And it costs a lot of money to replace. And the TVs were a lot cheaper. I have tested it. It doesn't look bad. So just hopefully that all goes well. A lot of changes are going to be happening. We got to be ready for them. Amen, church? Amen. We're going to be in Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. We're going to finish up part two of Samson's story. And hopefully you were encouraged last week by what we talked about. But what I just want to share with you before we even get into the message, just the song that we sang, just the very last song that you're redeemed. And you can only be redeemed in Jesus Christ. Amen, church? You can only be redeemed. Your chains can only be broken. You can only be free from sin in Jesus Christ. Any other way, it can't happen. In your own strength, it can't happen. In the world's strength, it can't happen. But in the strength of the Lord, in the blood of Jesus Christ, you can be saved, you can be redeemed, you can be restored to the living God. That's an amazing promise. Amen, church? An amazing promise. My favorite song we sing. My favorite song because it's so true for the believer. Live like you're redeemed. Amen? Live like it. And I love what's so important in God's Word. Lamentations chapter 3, 22 through 23 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We have a God who is faithful, a God who is abundant in his faithfulness, who's always faithful, who keeps his promises. Church, sometimes I think we take this for granted that God always keeps his promises. He doesn't go back on his word. I don't think we understand that, church. He doesn't go back on his word. And what is amazing to me, church, is God will sometimes even remain faithful when you are completely unfaithful. When you disobey, we kind of seen that in part one of Samson. Many times Samson was unfaithful, disobedient. Yet God remained faithful. And I would love to say, church, we're all strong believers. We're all strong, but I think at times, church, that we are very weak. We're weak. There's many weak believers. Many weak believers. So I want to ask you this question tonight. Are you a strong believer? Or are you a weak one? Are you a strong believer or a weak one? Again, Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. Last week's message went through a roller coaster. What did we learn? We learned that Samson had this Nazarite vow. He was dedicated from his birth. He was supposed to be set apart. He was supposed to be holy. He was supposed to be consecrated to the Lord. And he had a calling on his life like no other. An amazing calling to lead the Israelites out of the bondage of the Philistines. That's an amazing calling, a huge calling. You can only do that type of calling with the Lord. It can only be possible with the Lord. But what we found out is Samson was a man that didn't seem like a man of God, but rather a man of the world. Many flaws in his life. He was very lustful with his eyes. He wanted what he wanted, and he took what he wanted. Anger and revenge fueled his life, and seemed to only go to God when he really needed something. I'm thirsty, Lord. Give me something to drink. I'm thirsty, Lord. Give me something to drink. But what is amazing that we saw at the end is God's mercy is abundant. Even when Samson was so unfaithful, even when he did so many bad things, so many evil things, so many wrong things, even against the Lord, even violating his Nazarite vow, God gave him water. God didn't have to give him water, but he did. Why? Because God's mercy is abundant. It's overflowing. Amen, church? Amen. Judges chapter 16, starting in verse 1, let's pick it up. It says, "One day Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, 'Samson is here.' So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night in the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, 'At dawn we'll kill him.' But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up, took hold of the doors of the city gate together with the two posts and tore them loose, bar and all, and lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron." Church, how is this already starting? It's starting pretty much right where we left off. What does it say here in the beginning? One day Samson went to Gaza and he saw a prostitute and he went and spent the night with her. This is supposed to be a man of God. This is supposed to be a man who is called by the living God, who's supposed to be set apart, who's supposed to be holy. And where do we find him? We find him in the prostitute house. Let me tell you, church, he has no business being there. He has no business being with a prostitute. God had just shown him an amazing amount of mercy. And yet, where do we find him? In sin. To continue, you would think Samson would realize it. You would think he would get it right. Wow, I don't deserve this water from God. I don't deserve God to show me mercy. Maybe I'll start doing the right thing. But it didn't stop Samson. He went to the prostitute. He went and spent the night with her. And I can promise you that this only is going to lead to trouble. Though it may have been nice for a moment, it's only going to lead to trouble. And I want to be tough for just a moment, church. We have no business living in sin. We have no business living in sin. Why do we keep going to the bar? Why do we keep going to drugs? Why do we keep going to sin? Why do we wait up at night and we look at things we're not supposed to? When we look at pornography and we fall into sexual immorality and we commit adultery, you're supposed to be men and women of God. But we find ourselves in sin. Yet God has showed us amazing amount of mercy. Think about the mercy he's shown you. Think about he's redeemed your life. All the amazing things. Yet we find ourselves with a prostitute. Yet we find ourselves in sin. So many times. So many times, church. So many times. You have no business living in sin. I have no business in sin. Why? You don't work in that business anymore. The Bible says you're to be set apart. You're to be holy. Why? Because the Lord is holy. Be holy, for I am holy. That's what the Word of God says. That's the standard God has given you. And he doesn't say you got to do it by yourself. He says, do it with me, because I only have the power to make you holy. But yet we see something pretty crazy right after this. Samson knew this. Don't think he didn't know that this was happening. Why? He gets up before dawn. And what does he do? I can't even imagine what this may look like. He rips the city gate out of the ground. Church, I struggle taking my groceries up the stairs. I can't imagine. You should see me and Savannah when we got to take our groceries up those stairs. It looks like we just walked a 5 mile. We ran 5 miles. We're like dying, trying to catch our breath. It's funny, when our nephew was there, the first time he walked up those stairs, he's like, "Man, these are tall." I said, "Oh, these are steep stairs." And he's like, "Well, what's steep mean?" And, "Oh, it's tall or big or whatever." And every single, we had him for a whole week. Every time we would go to the apartment and every time we would leave, he'd said the same thing. Apparently he loved the word steep. "Man, these stairs are steep. Man, these stairs are steep." And if you've ever been to the apartment, you know the stairs are actually pretty steep. I can't imagine what this may have looked like. You know what the city gate was supposed to be a representative of? It was your strength of your city. If your city gate was big and large, that means you had a strong city. And what does Samson do to their city? He ripped it right out of the ground. Everything. And where does he take it? He takes it up to a hill. He takes it up to the hill, basically saying, "Your city's nothing compared to my strength. You Philistines, you don't even compare to the strength that I got." And let me tell you, the power of God is unmatched. It's unmatched. When you think that something is impossible, like tearing the city gates out of a city, God says otherwise. God says otherwise. Let's pick it up in verse 4. It says, "Sometime later he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The ruler of the Philistines went to her and said, See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver. What on earth is happening here? Samson is falling into the same trap again. The first trap, he did it. He liked the woman and he said, I don't care if she's a foreigner. I don't care if I'm not supposed to have her. I want her anyways. And here we see the same thing. He falls into the same trap again. Again, he keeps loving the wrong woman for him. But he doesn't care. And even if Samson really did love her, even if he did, she sure didn't love him. We're going to find that out here in the next couple of verses, is that Delilah sure didn't love her husband. She didn't care for him. And they offer her 1,100 shekels of silver. You might say, well, how much is that? That's a lot. It'd be 140 pounds of silver. This was not chump change. They were offering her a lot. Why did they do that? What did they really want? They said, we want to know the secret of his great strength. Why is Samson so strong? How on earth can he rip our city gates out of our city? How is he so strong? And this is my own opinion. I don't do this very often. But I when I was studying, I thought it was interesting. When you think of Samson, what do you think of? You think of this big old giant bodybuilder with his long hair. He's huge. But why would the Philistines want to know where his strength came from if he was just this big old giant? So I think Samson, though he probably didn't look like me, he was probably stronger than me. But he probably wasn't this big old giant we think he is. I think he looked like an average warrior of the day. And the Philistines, how on earth can this guy, how can he be as strong as what he is? I really think that Samson is not as big as what we may imagine in our children's story. I think the power of God is just that amazing. Amen, church? They wanted to know where his strength came from. And here, what I see with this, church, is Satan knows what will cause us to fall. Satan knows what will cause us to fall. Don't think he doesn't. He knows exactly what can tempt you. He knows exactly the things that are tempting in your life. Here we've seen it with his first wife. What did they do? They threatened her. That was enough for her to betray her husband. And now we see, they're like, we'll offer her some money. That's enough for her to betray her husband. Just like he knows how the woman will betray, he also knows what Samson's weakness. It's women. I'm going to use women to destroy Samson. The Satan knows exactly what tempts you. Don't think he doesn't. Because he sure does. Amen, church? Verse 6, let's see what happens. So Delilah said to Samson, tell me the secret of your great strength. And how can... tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued. Let me stop right here. This is so funny to me. It's the most obvious thing you could... She didn't even try to hide it. What she was trying to do. She might as well have just said, how can I hurt you, Samson? How can we tie you up? You know? She might as well have just been that obvious. That's basically what she says. Just tell me your secret so I can tie you up so you can be subdued. I think that's so funny. She was being as obvious as you can be with what she's saying. Verse 7 says, Samson answers her, if anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man. Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings and that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. When the men with the men hidden in the room, she called to him, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. But he snapped the bowstrings as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, you have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now and tell me how you can be tied. See, some of you are already thinking exactly what I was thinking when I read this. Is Samson dumb? She said, I want it. Basically, where's your strength come from? How can you be tied up? Does Samson not know what Delilah's trying to do here? Is he that oblivious? And let me tell you, sin makes us do dumb things. When we're living in sin, you become blind and it makes fools of us. It makes something that seems to be so obvious. That's a trap. Why are you going that way? That's a trap. What are you doing, Samson? Sin makes fools of us, church. It makes fools of us. But I want to just share, I don't think Samson really was dumb. What do I mean? I think Samson liked to play games. Samson knew exactly what he was doing. He knew what Delilah, but he was so infatuated with Delilah, I think he said, well, I can handle it. I can handle her. Right? She gives me what I want. I can play this game. And let me tell you, church, you can only play the game so long. You can only play the game so long. See, Samson really thought nothing could stop him. Nothing. Nothing can stop me. I just ripped the city gates out of the city. I tore apart a lion. I killed 1,000 Philistines. Nothing. Nothing can stop me. In church, we play the same game. We really do at times in our life. We play this thinking that there aren't going to be consequences for what I'm doing. I'm good. God's not disciplined me yet. I'm good, right? I'm good. I can keep playing this game over and over and over again, just as Samson's doing right here. I can keep violating my vow. I can keep doing whatever I want to do, but I'm going to tell you, church, you're going to lose the game. You're going to lose the game. Sooner or later, we lose that game when we play the sin game. It will only last so long. And I won't read all of it just to save some time, but 11 through 14, you see that same cycle, exactly what we just sang. Two other times she goes, well, just tell me. And he lies again. He says, well, these new ropes, they're gonna keep me. They'll subdue me. They'll be able to tie me up. Guess what? They come. He breaks those ropes. All good. And then then Delilah says, oh, would you just tell me? And then again, he tells her a lie. And says, well, if you weave my braids into the loom, into the fabric, then I'll be subdued. And what happens when he wakes? He takes the whole loom with his hair and everything. Wasn't subdued by it. Here we go in verse 15. It says, then she said to him, how can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you've made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. So he told her everything. No razor has been used on my head, he said, because I have been a Nazarite dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, my strength would never leave me. And I would become as weak as any other man. What on earth do we see here? We see the strongest man I've ever known. The strongest man I've ever seen in the Bible. He's literally, that's his label. The strongest man of the Bible. That's his label. How is he defeated? How is he broken down? He's broken down just by words. Just by a little persistence. Just by a little nagging. He finally just gives in. He finally just breaks. And he gives her everything. That's what it says here. It says, so he told her everything. He said, I'll just tell you. You keep nagging me. I think it's funny. It says, he was sick to death of it. He was so tired of the nagging. He was just sick to death of it. And let me tell you, church, Satan can be persistent. Don't think he's just going to stop. Especially, church, especially if you're not even going to attempt to resist him. If you're not even going to attempt to resist the devil, of course he's going to be persistent because he knows eventually you're going to break. I've watched it happen so many times. So many times. Let me just share my frustrations for just a minute. I've watched, it seems more and more, maybe it's just because of the news, I don't know. But I'm tired. I'm tired of seeing men of God that are supposed to lead churches falling to sin around every corner. You're supposed to be men of God. But the devil knows, with enough persistence, I'll get you to fall if you're not even going to try to resist. If you're not, see, the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. It doesn't say just sit and he'll flee from you. Just go ahead and sin and he'll flee from you. It'll eventually go away. That's not how the Satan works. He'll keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing until you're at rock bottom and you're like, how on earth did I get here? How did I get here? See, what I find interesting, church, is Samson didn't realize where his strength came from. How do I know? Because how did he explain it? He said, it came from my hair. He said, I was a Nazarite, no razor. Basically, if my head's shaved, then my strength will leave me. That's what he thought. His strength doesn't come from his hair, church. Trust me on this. Samson doesn't have this magical hairdo that just made him strong. Every time we've seen his mighty strength, where did it come from? The Spirit of the Lord. Every single time. He was strong because of the Spirit of the Lord. It didn't say because he had long locks. But Samson did think that. In church, I think we fall into that same trap in our life. We're so focused on one thing. One thing will break the rest. That's what Samson does. He broke every other part of his vow but his hair. If I come to church, I can do everything else. If I don't drink, I can do everything else. If I don't watch pornography, I can break everything else. That's not how it works. Because if you break one, you break them all. That's what the Bible says. If you've broken one law, you've broken all the laws. Church. Just by coming to church doesn't mean you're good to go. It doesn't mean you can live like the world. You're supposed to be set apart. You're supposed to be different in every aspect of your life. Not one aspect. But here Samson thought it was just one aspect. One. But why does Samson tell her? Because I really think deep down, church, Samson thought he'd be okay. Even though this was his last thing that he thought, you know, this is why I'm strong. Why did he tell her then? Because I think ultimately Samson thought he was almighty and big and strong. It didn't matter if he had hair, didn't have hair. He was going to be this strong no matter what. No matter what. Let's see what happens. Well, let's just pause for a minute. Samson is by far the strongest person we see in the Bible, but yet maybe one of the weakest believers. Maybe. What makes a believer weak is, number one, they fall to sin too easily. In fact, it seems like they're running into it. And number two, they serve themselves. A weak believer serves themselves. They don't serve God. They don't serve the church. They don't serve their brothers and sisters. All they do is serve themselves. How can I do better? How can I get better in the world? What can make me better? And they're willing to do whatever it takes to get there. And number three, they're filled with pride. That's probably, if you could stamp something on Samson's life up to this point, it's pride. I'm the biggest, best person. Nobody's ever going to touch me. And when you're a weak believer, you think about those things. You don't think that you're under God. Rather, a lot of times, what do? We put ourselves above God. I'm good to go. I'm good to go. Verse 18. Let's see what happens. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, "Come back once more. He has told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He woke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. The Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles. They sent him to the grinding grain in the prison, but the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Wow, what has just happened? Samson thought he was almighty and strong, but now what has happened? His strength, he's not strong anymore. He thought he was going to be okay. I think he knew his head was probably going to be shaved that night. Maybe he did it. Maybe Samson wasn't as smart as what I'm hoping he was. But he wasn't strong anymore. And could you imagine just for a minute, Samson in that moment thinking, "Oh, I got this. I'm going to break these ties." It didn't happen. Because what does it say? It doesn't say because his head was shaved. It actually says, but he did not know that the Lord had left him. The Spirit of the Lord wasn't there no more. The Spirit of the Lord wasn't there anymore. See, sin finally caught up to him. He finally lost the game. Just as I said, eventually we lose the game. You can only play it for so long until it catches you. And now it's caught him. And where on earth is he at this moment? He's broken all his vow. The man of God dedicated, supposed to serve, supposed to deliver Israel, broke the last part of his vow. You know what, church? It might be tough to see, but I actually think this shows God's faithfulness. Could God have done exactly this as soon as he broke his first part of his vow? Yeah, he could have. But God said, I'm going to wait. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to wait. Wait until if Samson, maybe if he just doesn't break the last part, we can accomplish without all of this. But he doesn't. The symbol, that's his hair was supposed to be the symbol of his Nazarite vow, and now it's gone. Samson is suffering the consequences of his sin. Where do we find him? Strongest man had the freedom to do whatever he wanted. Now where is he? Pretty gruesome. Gouged out his eyes. Put him in shackles. Threw him to the grinding grain. Supposed to be the free man. Now a slave. Listen to me, church. He was supposed to redeem Israel, really. He was supposed to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And where does he find himself? In the hand of the enemy. That's where Samson is now. Church, though it may be tough to understand, God has the power to make the strong weak. Even the strongest man, the weakest man. He has a way, and he just has a way of humbling the proud. And I wonder what Samson might have been thinking through all this. Can you imagine being, put yourself in his shoes for a minute. You had all the power in the world, really. You had the strength of God. Now you find yourself a slave, grinding grain all day. You think maybe Samson thought, how on earth did I get here? How did I get here? I was supposed to free my people. I was supposed to deliver my people. And now I'm here. I can't imagine what was going through his mind. But God showed him hope. Verse 22 says, but the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. There's a glimmer of hope. A glimmer of hope. Verse 23 says, now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain. While they were high in spirits, they shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When he stood among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, put me where I can feel the pillars and support the temple so that I may lean against them. Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there. On the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Now they basically have Samson like a puppet, and he's performing for them. But what I want us just to focus on just for a minute until we get to what I think is the actual good part of this message is that when a believer, listen to me, you might not think it's that big of a deal, but it's a big deal, church. When you sin and you fall short and you go against God, you think maybe it only brings a bad name on yourself. It doesn't. It brings a bad name on the Lord. You're a bad witness when you fall into sin. I'm a bad witness when I fall into sin. I don't glorify God. I don't honor God in my sin. And it's not just me. I'm not just giving a bad name. Christ is. And here's, that's what you see. What are they doing? They're praising their own God, saying, oh, look how strong our gods are now. Look how strong our God is. They praise their own God. See, we're supposed to bring glory and honor to God. But when we live for ourselves, it does the exact opposite. You're supposed to glorify God in all you do. You can't do that in sin. You can't do that living in sin. Amen, church? Amen. Let's finish this up. Verse 28 says, then Samson prayed to the Lord, sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more. And let me, with one blow, get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple of the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. Church, what I find so amazing here is Samson, after all he's done, all the sin he's committed, everything, he finally gets it right. How does he get it right? He actually prays and seeks out the Lord. It wasn't just because he's not even seeking, Lord, save me from the Philistines. He didn't even pray that. He really is praying, let me do what you called me to do. What did God call him to do? To defeat the Philistines. He's saying, Lord, give me one more push. One more push to do what you called me to. See, church, what I want us to understand tonight is that God has the power to make the strong weak, but oh wow, does he have the power to make the weak strong. Amen, church? I hope you're a testimony to that in your life. That's what the Bible scattered throughout that message. God uses the weak to show his strength. Amen, church? That's amazing to me. Not only do we see him pray and seek out the Lord, but you even get a sense of repentance. This is not the same Samson. He's saying, Sovereign Lord. The early Samson wouldn't be saying that. He says, remember me. He says, please God, remember me. You see this sense of repentance that he's not the way he used to be. And God restores him. God restores his strength. And let me tell you, church, that's a promise in your life. Stop thinking you're never going to defeat the sin in your life. With that attitude, you probably won't defeat the sin in your life. But when you call out to the living God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you say, Lord, forgive me of the things that I have done, and help me turn away from them. The Lord is faithful, amen? He's faithful and he restores. And then we see Samson being restored. And this is what's amazing to me. If you jump all the way to Hebrews chapter 11, this guy, guess where he's found? He's found in the heroes of the faith. The hall of fame of men of faith and women of faith. How on earth could Samson be there? How could Samson, a guy who did everything wrong, be there? Because at the final moments of his life, he gave his life to God. And I'll promise you this, church, you can live your life for yourself for the majority of your life, but if you give yourself to God, he'll restore your whole life and he'll give you everlasting life. Amen? Amen. I can promise you, though it's crazy to me, Samson's in heaven. Why is it crazy to me? Because I think about my life. It's crazy to me that I'll be in heaven. It's crazy to me that Aaron will be in heaven and Jeremy will be in heaven. All of us. Why? Because again, I'll say just as I did last week, we're no different than Samson. We wasted our way our life before Christ. We did. We did. And what I find really amazing at the end of verse 30, it says, thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. See, Samson probably thought, wow, I'm doing great. He probably did. I've killed this many Philistines in my life. But it wasn't until he got his life right that he actually did. It says he did more. And maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, wow, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good on my own. I can promise you that when you repent and you do it God's way, you find out how much you can really do. It's kind of a bittersweet ending for Samson. It kind of is. But that's the consequences of sin. The Lord will only let you play the game for so long. But praise the Lord for his faithfulness. Praise the Lord for his mercy. Praise the Lord for his patience. Praise the Lord for his compassion. Praise the Lord for him being the Lord, because I wouldn't pick Samson. I wouldn't pick me. I wouldn't pick me. See, God made Samson strong after he humbled him. What does a strong believer look like? Number one, they call out to God. They seek out his will. Not their own. Samson did that his whole life, up till this moment. They seek out the will of God. They walk in humility, church. Number two is they walk in humility. They realize who God is. You're not the best thing. God is. God's at the top. We're his creation. And praise the Lord, he loves his creation. And number three, they run to repentance. Church, you're going to mess up. I'm telling you. I am telling you, you're going to sin. You're going to mess up. And it can be easy to spiral. It can be easy. Well, I just messed up this time. I was doing good for a while. I messed up this time. I might as well keep going down and down and down. But you don't have to do that. Because the Lord is faithful. And he says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. That's not 30 years down the road. That can be now. That can be now. And maybe you're here tonight and saying, I'm a weak believer. It's time to repent. If you feel like you're a weak believer, stop staying there. Repent. And the Lord is faithful. Maybe you're in the middle of sin. Don't take for granted the mercy of God. God has shown you mercy and patience in your life. He's given you time to get it right. But sooner or later, it will run out. And God will discipline. And God will humble. God will do whatever it takes to bring you back. Repent. Repent. So let me ask you again, church. Are you strong or weak? Are you really strong, believer? Or are you a weak believer? How do you know that? How can you possibly know that? You ask the one who knows it. I don't know it. And I don't even know really if I am a strong believer or a weak one. I got to ask the one who's... I'll be biased. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. But it's not until I ask the Lord that he reveals, man, you've got to fix this in your life. You've got to stop doing this in your life. It's only hurting your relationship with the Lord. Church, are you strong or weak? Because this, we're never going to grow if we're all weak believers. I'll be honest. You're never going to grow as a weak believer. This church is never going to grow as a weak as weak believers. And we'll get to the end of our life. And we'll say, wow, I wish I was a little bit stronger for the Lord. Don't wait till the end of your life to make that claim. Fix it now. Amen, church? Fix it now. Let's stand, church.